Almost. We're getting there, right? We're getting close to Happy New Year. So today's sermon I'm going to have called Waiting for Christmas. Because we all have been, this is the season, and we're waiting for Christmas to come. How many of you have little ones in the household? And it's a little crazy, right? First off, they're not in school. They're waiting for Christmas, and there's a lot of excitement going on, waiting for Christmas to come. How many of you remember these? How many of you have them? How many of you have one today? My mother, in her wisdom, little Andy, said, what was Andy like when he was younger? Shorter? Which is hard to do. But, you know, she in her wisdom, like, okay, let's make the chain. And you know how this works, right? You make the chain, and every day you tear off another chain because I'm waiting, and I have to. And she was helping me learn what? Patience. How to wait without grumbling, right? How to endure something. So this was a thing that many of us, we all use it, right? I think Tracy was telling some grandchild, go make a chain. We know this is. It's a practice for waiting. Well, did you guys click off me? There you go. You went black. Okay, good. Go back to where I'm at. In the days before Christ's birth, the people were waiting, right? We wait for Christmas to celebrate something that occurred. It did happen, right? Jesus was born in a stable. The Savior came. It did happen. And we wait to celebrate that. Christmas, by definition, is Christ Mass, which is celebrate Christ, right? A celebration of Christ. But before he came, in the days of the Old Testament, they were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. They were anxiously awaiting the coming of Messiah. And even though there were, how shall I say, maybe misguided or misunderstood expectations, there was this wait, the Messiah will come, the Messiah will come. And you know, it was for some, their particular life came and went in waiting. It was hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years from the Genesis time, the very first time that it said, there will be one that will come. And it was Messiah. It was hundreds and hundreds of years. But there was a day that the angel did announce to those shepherds, I bring you great news, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, is born to a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So the day did come, right? The wait was hundreds of years. And for many, would the promise delivery. If you go back in the time, right, the people of the Old Testament, would he come, is he coming? Is he going to come during my lifetime? I don't know. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. God's perfect timing was for this is the day. And there were a group of people that they got to see it, right, starting with the shepherds. I always wonder about at the inn, the midwife that perhaps helped. You know, scripture's silent on that, but you have to think, there probably was someone that helped her birth this child. And the first one to see the Savior come to earth. Pretty amazing. But again, the fullness of time, God's timing was for Christmas, right? What we celebrate as Christmas. He came. And in that timing, it was his perfect timing. He came to earth, and, you know, John the Baptizer, when he saw it, he declared the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. Because the very next scripture in Galatians says, why did he come? He came to redeem those who were under the law so we might receive adoption. Those in Christ are redeemed. Redeemed means you've been purchased. And the other thing that I love is that word adoption. Adoption has this idea that you are in family of God, but it also, you know, sometimes when it says sons, ladies, don't get upset about the word sons. It implies all of it, because the son was the inheritor, right? So you want to be a son of God. You want to be an inheritor of what? So you were adopted as one who was going to inherit what God has. What God has for you. Jesus came to earth, fulfilled the law. He laid down his life. And we celebrate that. But we also have to remember he conquered the grave. Right? When we celebrate Christmas, it's appropriate to celebrate the whole package. When you celebrate Christmas, you also celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And when you celebrate Resurrection Sunday, you also celebrate Christmas, because it's the bookends of the story, right? He came, fulfilled the law, redeemed us, conquered death so that you could have death conquered, and then he went off into the heaven and said, what did he say when they left? It's good that I go away. Thank you. It's good that I go away so the helper may come. He says, I go to prepare a place for you so that when I come again, you can be with me. And then the angels, when Jesus lifted off into the clouds, said, why are you standing here looking? He will come again the same way he left. Jesus' first coming was to redeem the church. But upon going back to heaven, there's a promise for the second coming. So you notice, when I first did this, I said, we're waiting for Christmas part one. We're waiting for the part one of Christmas, right? Let's celebrate what happened in the past. But we should also wait for Christmas part two, right? The sequel, which is better than the, right? I'm going to be careful with better. It's all God. It's part two. It's part two of the story is that he said, I will come again. And we as those who are redeemed by as under the church should be waiting for Christmas every day. Waiting for the coming of our Lord in all that we do. And with this idea of we're waiting for, it's okay to wait for Christmas to celebrate what happened. We're going to do that. And in the same time, we should always be waiting for Christmas that's coming. Christ will come again and bring his church. So with that in mind, I want to go back to where we are in James, James chapter 5. It says, therefore be patient, brethren, until what? The coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. For what? The coming of the Lord is near. You know, I think I was kind of talking with my wife Tracy, and she said, John MacArthur said that 1 in 13 scriptures in the New Testament is about the Lord coming again. I didn't look that up, but I'll take her stat. The New Testament is filled with, he's coming again. Amen. He's coming. I mean, in two verses, we got coming again twice, right? And it is what we have. So I want to understand the context of this statement, because it says, be patient, brethren. And just like that, I guess you can make a countdown chain. I don't know how many chains to put in it, sorry. Maybe a perpetual one. But we could have a countdown chain to wait, and to wait eagerly for something, you know, part of patience is to wait for something you desire. There is that part of patience, right? Be patient. And patience by definition, we'll look at some definition, but it's like, without grumbling and complaint, wait. Hard for me. The flesh, Andy, it's hard to wait. There's a line in a movie that says, I hate waiting. I quote that line all the time. I hate waiting. My flesh is very, do it now. At work, with Barry, they call me ready, shoot, aim. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want it to, but I was the ready, shoot, aim guy. Like, let's go, right? And waiting is something that the Lord's character on me has. I can only wait because of God's character and his spirit in me, right? We've all taken the intelligence test, the NTJs and whatever. There's many of them, and there was one where it measured you and measured your introverts and your extrovert, and then it had what your patience was. I didn't score very well. So only one person scored lower than me, and that was our CEO, who was really impatient. So, but the Lord, Tracy Evans, I thank God almost daily that his spirit is giving you patience, because I couldn't live with you otherwise. But there is that part of patience to wait eagerly without complaint, without right for that which you desire. But the biggest part of patience, you ever heard the other word called long-suffering? Endurance, long-suffering. There's this side of patience that how do you deal with the unpleasant or the things that you don't like? That's when patience really fills in. And when we read this scripture, the context of what did we just talk about previously? You rich people, right? You people who love your money and abuse those around you. Even the start of James. We look at the very beginning of James. James 1, consider it joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Because you know that the testing of your faith brings about steadfastness or endurance. And endurance, when it's complete, makes you perfect. Right? So he says, therefore be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. So let's just take, I looked at this. I'm a tech guy. I'm a nerd guy. So guess what I did? I went to Strong's. Sorry. I'm like, okay, patience. What is this thing? So in the Greek word, if you transliterate it, it's macrothumeo or macrothumia. I'm like, great, what is that? Okay, well, the second one is the noun form of patience. It is the thing. And that word is the thing, right? It's in Galatians 5:23 when it says love, joy, peace, patience. It's macrothumia. It's the thing, right? This is the thing that is an attribute of the fruit of the Spirit. Macrothumeo is the verb form. It's almost always translated be patient, being patient, waiting, right? And so in this particular, the verbs there are 10 times in the New Testament, the nouns 14 times in the New Testament, just some stats for you, but look at those definitions of when that Greek word, whether it be the noun or the verb, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, wait with expectation. Okay, that kind of has the positive side. You wait with expectation, I can do it. But it also implies, if you read the rest, to bear long with entreaties for deliverance and vengeance. That's why we just read, be patient, the Lord's coming. Be patient, the Lord's coming. Can you bear long with deliverance, or is it your job to avenge? Be patient, the Lord's coming. Number C, to persevere bravely, enduring misfortunes and troubles. Nobody really wants misfortunes and troubles, but patience, the thing, allows you to have patience, the verb, to persevere bravely, enduring misfortunes. And finally, the last one, bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, and slow to punish. That's the context when we read this patient. And if you look at this, there's four times in these two verses. It says, be patient, wait, be patient, be patient. So he wants us to, I think he wants us to be patient. In each of these four times, notice that it's there. And I do want to maybe take a moment, because patient is, when I started rattling off the nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. And let me just say this one thing. The scripture says the fruit is, it doesn't say the fruits are, right? The fruit is, it's kind of like, and I you have to be careful with analogies because you can take it too far, but bakers, when you want to bake something, I want to make a cake. I want to make a really, really perfect cake. Well, I need the right ingredients, and I need quality ingredients that when you mix them all together, I get cake. It's kind of like an orange. This is citrus season, right? Christmas used to be get an orange because it was citrus season. It was time to roll off. And how many of you had that great orange? You've had one? You're like, oh, this is great. How many of you had that orange? You kind of went, ooh. You had one of those? Yeah. They're both oranges. But some of the attributes were lacking. And maybe a great orange is sweet. A not so great orange is sour. Or lacking in its sweetness. A great orange is firm, right? Some are mushy. So if I were to list off the attributes, a great orange is, first it's orange, right? Orange, round, sweet, juicy, plump, whatever. Okay, when God says, when my spirit is in you, my fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And each of the, if I go back to the attributes or ingredients, play on the other, right? When I'm patient, my kindness increases. When I'm patient, self-control shows up. Self-control gives me patience. My joy comes from, you know, kindness and goodness. They all work together, and they're all just, if you were to list those nine attributes, this is the character of the Holy Spirit. God is love. God is joy, patience, kindness. And when his attributes well up in you, your fruit is a fantastic recipe. And God has a perfect recipe for you. So that's the patient I want to talk about. But so, therefore, when you're patient until the coming of the Lord, you need to wait, being patient, and you too be patient. The other thing I want to look at is the farmer in this context of what we're waiting. So the farmer, it says the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. The farmer has a role, right? By definition, a farmer has a role. His role is to farm, right? So you have a role, and he has things he's supposed to do, right? He has to prepare the soil. He might need to augment the soil. He has to actually put the seed in the ground, right? And potentially care for it. So he has, you're called as a farmer to do that. But, says, you have to be patient until it gets the early rain. Is the farmer in charge of the rain? No. Can the farmer control the rain? No. And rain in this particular thing is analogous to God's involvement, blessing, activity in your life, right? When the farmer prepared the soil, whose soil was it? God's. When he grabbed a seed and put a seed in the ground, whose seed was it? God's. The sun that's required to shine upon, so photosynthesis happened. Who's in charge of the sun? Who made the sun? God. When his rain finally came, because remember back in this time, they didn't have all our fancy irrigation systems. It either rained or it didn't. So when it rains, who brings the rain? God. Who causes it to grow? God. Wait a minute, so it's all God? Yep. But you just said he called the farmer to do something. Yep. And that's where sometimes we get caught up. Like, it is all God. God made the soil. God made the sun. God made the thing. God brings the rain. God does everything. God causes it to grow, but he called you to do something. You have a role. Do this. The scripture is full of do's, right? Don't ignore the do's. It's as your sanctification comes, you're to do what the scripture says. Do the things he calls you to. You're an obedient child. As if, remember, we're adopted as sons and we're children in his family, and the children has chores, right? And when I need the children to do what they're called to do. And that is what we need to think when he says, when you're supposed to be patient till the coming of the Lord, and he talks about the farmer illustration. It's like, okay, you have things to do. I'm going to call you to do something, and I'll take care of the early rains, the late rains, and right in between, right? I will bless your life, the rains of that analogy. So we have that in place, and I know The farmer has no control over the weather. The Lord brings the rain. And rain, the analogy here, is the Lord's blessing and provision in what he's called you to do. You do what you're supposed to do, and he'll make the sun shine, and he'll bring the rain. So in saying that, I'm going to kind of move us into what we're being active, but I know even now, for many of us, days are hard. I know we have some really hard medical things going on. I know we have some really hard family things going on. Our church itself has some really hard things going on. Do what you're called to do. Do what you're called to do. The Lord will bring the rain. Christmas gatherings are coming up. And we will have extended family gathered together. We will have some, for some of us, that's a huge joy. For some of us, that's a time to exercise patience. Amen? My son-in-law is here. I love to see my grandchildren come. Sometime I'm ready for them to go. So, all right? But we have, but you know, then we're going to have that extended family where I get the opportunity to show grace. Lord says, be patient. You can be patient. You yield to the indwelling spirit in you, and the Lord will bring the rain. Diligence, patience, and trust. Those are things that we can learn from this farmer who waits for the early and late rain and just knows that it's God who brings the rain. You be obedient. So if that, with that, I want to move to when we're patient, the thing, because be patient until the Lord comes is a mindset that in all that we do, we know the Lord is coming, but he calls us to do. We're walking upon this earth. We have things to do. He said, go therefore and teach all nations. He's got commands for us. He's calling us to do many, many things, to be an obedient son and daughter of God. So this next part that's in here, he says, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts for the coming Lord. Remember, patience, it has that aspect of waiting for those things you desire. But mostly what patience, especially in this scripture, is about how do you endure the hard times? How do you endure the world that's against you? How do you endure accusations, things that aren't fun to deal with, right? How do you do it? He says, you be patient. Strengthen your hearts. Strengthen your hearts. Establish, some translations say establish your heart. Some translations say take courage. Because the opposite of establish heart or strengthen your heart is faint of heart would be the opposite. What does faint of heart mean? Probably a more strong word would be coward. Right? That's the opposite. He's saying, no, strengthen your hearts. Take courage when you're enduring these hard times, whether it be a situation of life, whether it be the world, the people, the things that are coming against you, whether they're your extended family is attacking your faith, whatever the case may be, strengthen your hearts. Take courage. The Lord strengthens and establishes your heart, because I want to move on to another. Related to strengthen your heart, 1 Thessalonians 3 says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts, strengthen your hearts, blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and all his saints. Look, another scripture saying, have a strong heart, the Lord's coming. It's in Thessalonians. Paul said in Thessalonians. James said it here. It's all through the scriptures. Be patient. Be of courage. The Lord's coming. This place, this world we're talking on, you know, first off, I can, you know, celebrate the fact that common grace is for the world. The Lord created the creation. We acknowledge your creation. You go and look at it. It's beautiful. I love to go see, you know, the rivers, the mountains, the lakes, and just wondering what he created. Yet there's a curse over this world. And walking through this world right now, it's cursed. And there's weeds. And there's pain. And there's suffering. And there's all these other things that are going on. But I can revel in the fact that I can take courage. The Lord will give you courage. Remember, strengthen and establish your hearts blameless in holiness. You have been redeemed. You are an heir of God, a child of God. So take courage. He knows you. He knows the hard days. And he knows you are worthy of testing. Remember the beginning of James, consider it joy when you encounter various trials. Dr. Lentz, what's a test for? See where you're at, right? A test in school is to say, okay, do you get it? I'm going to test you. Do you get it? And it also reveals to the student, when you get a good grade, I do get it. To take a test and get a good score is an encouragement. Yeah, I rocked that test, right? Same thing, even water, right? You get your well water tested. Why? To find out what it needs, right? Is it pure? So testing just reveals to you where you're at. And the Lord, that's why I said, consider it a joy when you get tested, because he's just showing you where you're at. He's going to encourage you with your testing? Really? Yeah. Because he said, remember, he's going to produce endurance and steadfastness and make you perfect. Perfect means, does mean without error, but the other part of perfect means complete. You're filled out. I'm going to check off all the boxes. Complete means, has this meaning of clean and without blemish, as well as lacking nothing. Right? That's the perfect brownie. When you get the right ingredients together, it has to have nuts in it. The perfect brownie has to have nuts in it. But anyway, we can agree to disagree on the nuts. But anyway, he knows you, he's testing you, and the testing is just going to reveal you. So remember, he's establishing your hearts. He wants to make you blameless. You are blameless and holy in righteousness. You can take the attacks that might come your way when those family, friends, world, coworkers, students, whatever, are attacking you. Remember, you're holy and blameless. So, James, earlier in chapter 4, he admonished us to live, right? But he admonished us to live with the mantra, if the Lord wills, I will do this and I will do that. So we are to continue to walk this earth, be patient in all that we're before us, and have a life that we live on this earth, which we know is ordained by God, by patiently waiting for Christmas number 2 to come. And we are to be actively waiting. What does that mean? Know the Lord's will. I didn't put them on the scripture, but it just comes to mind. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. And he'll what? He'll give you things? No, that's not what it says. It doesn't say delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you things. It says delight yourself in the Lord and and he will place the desires in your heart. Right? He will give you. Right? He doesn't give you the things you desire. He gives you the desires. Right? So delight yourself. As we walk upon this earth, what is patience? We'd walk upon this earth and we go forward and we'd be the farmer and we are called to be delight ourselves in God. He will put there. The other thing is trust in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Right? Submit to God in all you do, which gives me Psalm 119, which is one of my favorite. What am I supposed to do with God? He says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why do you have those two parts? The lamp to my feet is my very next step. Right? What do I do today? What do I do right now? His word is sufficient to tell you this is it's to my feet, it's my very next step. What's the light to my path tell me? Where am I going? So his word is for both. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And with that, he says the context of 1 Thessalonians 5 is guess what? The Lord's coming, right? And in that coming, he says, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober. Be patient, the Lord is coming, endure this, but while you're there, you're the farmer. Go tend the field I told you to tend. I will bring the rain as I need to, and keep awake and sober. We're called to be Christians in this world, to be a light that he shined before us. And in that, he says in Colossians 3, how he wants you to do that? If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on those things, not on the things of this earth. We're to do this earth. We're to walk. Go see what your life is, as long as you did the if the Lord wills. Because remember, he didn't say it was wrong to go to some town and do business. It was wrong to say it was my plan to go to some town and do business, right? What is the Lord's will for you? Keep your mind above. And lastly, when and all said and done, Paul said, whether I live, if I'm living, it's to honor Christ. If he takes me, all the better. Amen. So we're waiting for Christmas. Be patient for the coming of the Lord. You can do it. Be God's character in you is to be patient. Go live the life he tells you to do. Have ears to hear. But let's all wait for Christmas too. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you thankful so much to you for life in you. Thank you for that you care, that you know. I kind of glossed over, went quickly over the fact that life's hard. You said, if you're weary and heavy laden, come to me. And so, Father, we thank you for that. I pray for each person in this room as we go and we go to various places and go through our households. Father, we pray for your will to be accomplished in all we're about. We have ears to hear for you. Father, that we would love one another and that your name would be exalted. We bless your name. Amen.